Acts chapter 27, starting in verse 9, and we will read through verse 25. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phenis, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.'" Whether you realize it or not, and we in a church sometimes only think of ourselves or think everything is going great, but whether you know it or not, there are people in churches all across America and unsaved people that are very, very afraid of what is going on in America. They're very afraid. The job I have, I get to deal with people, quite a bit. And the number one concern that they have is, what is going to happen in the next 5 years, 10 years, and if they're older people, what's going to happen for my children and my grandchildren? Now, it gives me an opportunity to tell them about the Lord and where I work. As long as they don't complain, there's usually not a problem. So I get to tell them. But as I was preparing this, the Lord was just speaking to me, and I thought, Paul was trying to tell them, let me tell you, we need to stay where I know it's going to be safe. But instead, they didn't listen to Paul, and they went ahead and went on what they thought was the best course to take. We read here in God's word, they came upon a terrible storm, and terrible things were going to happen. In fact, if you'll read the rest of this, you will see that the whole ship was destroyed. They were able to grab on to pieces of wood that was left and float to the island. It would have never happened had they listened to him. But we are in the same situation this morning in America, because men of God are preaching and no one is wanting to listen to what God is telling our country. If you will, we are in a tumultuous storm in America this morning. This storm is of cataclysmic magnitude. And let me just give you an idea on where it started so that you know it just didn't pop up out of nowhere. In 1963, how many were alive in 63? Raise your hand. Okay. How many have only heard that there was a 1963, but you couldn't verify it? Raise your hand. Okay. About half and half. Take my word, there was a 1963, and this did happen, all right? In 1963, a lady by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare. And if you were alive, you'll remember this. I was a young man at the time. Decided that it would not be good to have prayer in the schools anymore. And this lady went and was able by law to take prayer out of the schools. Now, whether you believe this or not, when I was in school, it was all right to pray. In fact, when President Kennedy was shot, I was in school. Our teacher asked everyone to bow their heads, and he led us in prayer because we didn't know he was already dead. This was in a public school, all right? I date myself a little bit, but I don't feel old. But in the schools, they actually had the Ten Commandments on the wall of the school I was in. And when we would go to take a test, they would always say, look at the Ten Commandments and use that as your guide. Madeline Murray O'Hare said, well, that's step. We need not to have that in the schools. And so she got it taken out. And a little pop-up storm is what they thought at the time started brewing. Since that time, in the 1970s, they legalized what the liberals and the unsaved likes to call abortion. I'm just going to call it what it is, and that is murdering babies, okay? That's murdering babies. And you say, well, that's kind of tough. No, that's what God says it is. You're taking the life, all right? And we made it where it's all right. So now life is cheap. It means nothing, because why? If you can take and murder a unborn child, it's not a big deal. But that storm kept on going. The wind started going and started to howl, and it kept on going and going. The storm just kept building. During this time, the non-inspired version was brought into existence and was used and preached out of the pulpits, and the pulpits started losing power from God because it was not God's word. Just understand that. Any version that is not an inspired, and there is only one inspired one that we have, and that's the King James Version. The reason I harp on this so much is you'd be surprised what is being taught in fundamental churches or preached in fundamental churches today. So keep that in mind. If anybody says, what's the difference between the NIV and the ESV and the NASB and all these? You just take and show them. And if you need some help, I've got a couple books on it that will help you. Anyway, that started being taught, and people started going by the NIV version. Rock music came on the scene back in the 50s and the early 60s, and it is nothing but satanic music, satanic beat and words, and it came over and took over generation after generation, and it got worse and worse and worse. There was a time that they used to call headbanging music. Anybody ever remember that? I didn't say, did you listen to it? I just said, did you remember it, okay? I heard it one time because sometimes you were in a restaurant, and I understand why they called it headbanging music, because you wanted to take your head and bang it on the wall to get that music out because it's crazy. But it's still going on. They have this kind of music, and it gets worse and worse. Rap and I don't know. It's been a long time. I don't listen to WYTJ. If they start playing that, I won't turn that on either. But that came in, and then Christian rock was spawned off of that. And Christian rock started coming into the church. By the way, there is no such thing as Christian rock, okay? There is no such thing. But it's in churches all across America. It'll be in churches all this morning. They'll have their little praise band or their big praise band, and they'll have the bouncing ball and everything else, and that'll be going on. The reason I'm saying this is because it has led to the storm that is going on, and the storm is coming across our country, and these were the things that were building up. And instead of America listening to men of God who were saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, there's a storm coming, we've got to stop it, we've got to do this, they just kept on going and saying, it doesn't affect me so much, so I don't care. I'm not going to stand up. During this time for the storm, there was the God is dead movement. By the way, just so you know this, God is not dead, all right? And is alive, and I can verify that in my life, and I know you can too. But that was going across America. God is dead. The Sodomites decided to come out of the closet. Worst thing that could have ever happened. I liked it when they were afraid to come out, okay? But now that they're out, they have had their marriage, and this ought to just make you mad and break your heart at the same time. 7 states have now legalized sodomite marriages, and the sodomites can adopt. Can you imagine growing up in a home? I don't care. I used to visit jail. I might as well be on the inside sometime and see how it is there. All right. Can you imagine growing up and having 2 dads, and one of them said, well, yeah, that's the mom, but it's actually 2 men for your parents or 2 women for your parents? And yet, that's what is being done and being taught, that it's okay. And schools are being taught. The little kids are brought, they brought sex education into the schools. And instead of teaching them at home, they put that in. By the way, and pastor didn't ask me to say this, but if you have kids or grandkids, our president, and I use the word loosely, said we need to sacrifice. Here's the only sacrifice I think we need to make. If you possibly can, sacrifice to make sure that your children can get into a good fundamental Christian school, and whatever it takes, get them in there, because the schools are rotten, rotten, rotten. And if you say, well, it won't affect my kids, you're wrong, okay? All right, I'll get back to this. Anyway, it's being taught in the schools for sex education. They make them, kindergartners have to read in California, and it'll come this way, My Two Moms. And that is part of the curriculum. And the storm just keeps going and going and building and building and building. Evolution is taught as fact, and creation is mocked and laughed at. And if it is taught at all, it's taught as a theory instead of reversed. Where are we at right now? Our economy is not too good. I'm just trying to tell you what it is. You already know this. You see the job numbers. You see what's going on. I had a person, I'm selling cars, and this person came in and said, I'm just going to pay cash because I'm tired of getting 0.5% interest on my money. Okay? He said, so I'm just going to come in and pay cash because I'm not making any money on it. And he's not the only one. We are in a state to where the economy is going down the tubes and people are scared. We are in a state where national health care was passed. And I'm not going to get into the political part of this. I'm just saying if it keeps on going, it is going to destroy our country even more than what it is right now. Right now, the last figure I saw, it's like nationwide about 4.5 people for every 1 job when you apply. 4.5. Some states it's even higher. All of this storm is of epic proportions, and it's upon us. And I want to tell you this morning, I'll try to speed this up to get through. Each and every person in here, no matter what your age, whether you are 20 years old, 19, 18, I'm not sure what the youngest person is, all the way up to the oldest, we are faced with 2 choices. I'm going to tell you what they are, and you have to decide. And before you decide to say, well, that's an easy one, I want to tell you what it's going to take in order for this to happen. Because Paul came and said, you had a choice and you chose the wrong one, but I'll give you the answer to the other one that is the right one, but here's what it's going to cost. And understand, we're in a situation where it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. Your first choice, and this is what's going on in most churches across America by supposed Christians, is to panic and live in a state of perpetual fear. And that's what most people are doing. They're panicking, and these are Christians. They are panicking and living in a state of perpetual fear. Isn't it sad that there are Christians, born-again Christians, that are having to take Valium and having to take the other pills to give them peace? It is. I don't care if you believe it or not. It is, because it says that we have to get something that doesn't come from God. But they're afraid. What if I lose my job? What if I lose my house? What if I can't go here? What if I lose my health care? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And so they panic all the time. Instead of reading Philippians 4:19, most of you can quote it with me. And if you would, that'd be great. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall what? Say it again, louder. What's the rest of it? All my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So, who actually is taking care of us? The government? That's what people think. Obama gets up and says, I'm not going to send out the Social Security checks, and everybody panics. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? Instead of just saying, I'm just going to have to depend on God, he knows that if that happens, he's going to have to supply. Just so you can see, young people, if you're over the age of 40, how many would raise your hand and say, there have been times in my life when it looked to the world there was no way I should be able to make it, but God supplied my need. Just raise your hand. Over 40. Okay, look around. See that. Okay. Is God still in control? Yes, he is. Can God still supply needs? If our government fails, do you think God is going to say, well, I can't do anything now because that's who was taking care of it? No. No. God's just going to say, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. But people are panicking. I'm throwing this one in just because it caught my attention this week, and I just want you to appreciate this church and this pastor and the pastor that was here before and what God says. But I saw a sign on a church, and if you pay attention, you'll see it as well, and depending on how you go home. And the church, and the sign says, no dress code here, okay? No dress code here. I'm not going to say it because it'll get out and somebody will come and our pastor will get sued. Yeah, I can already see that. He'll come up and see me this week. All right. Let me just tell you this. I think I got time. My boss went up to Mackinac Island. I don't know if anybody ever been here. I've been there. Okay. Anyway, there's a hotel on the island. It's called the Grand Hotel. I think the rooms start at about $250, $300 a night, and it goes up from there, okay? They've had some films there. They were there only because they didn't plan ahead. It was over the 4th of July weekend, and that was the only place that had any rooms anywhere in the area, so they had to stay there. So he came back, and he told me, he said, you know what? We went to go down to eat, and I didn't have a tie or a coat. And here's what they told me. If you want to eat, buddy, you will have to rent a tie and you will have to rent a coat. The coat was $40. The tie was, I'm not sure how much, but that's what it was. And I said, what did you do? He said, well, I went out and bought a coat because I figured if I'm going to rent one, I might as well buy it. And I rented the tie. He said, because I was hungry and my wife says, we better eat or you're going to be in big trouble. Okay? You say, what's your point? My point is they didn't care one whit what this guy thought of their of how they should dress. They said, if you're going to come in here, we have certain requirements because we are looking for a certain image that we want to present. And if you want to eat with us, you better do that. What I'm saying is this. Anybody can come in any way they want. I know the pastor feels that way, and nobody's going to be turned away. But who are we coming for? We're coming for the Lord. Does he expect us to dress the best that we possibly have when we come to see him? Yes. If a ungodly, worldly place says, you got to have a coat and a tie, and here's what it's going to cost to rent one, otherwise you're not going to eat, I don't think it's too much to say we need to do the best and dress the best we can for the Savior. That's a freebie. Just wanted to throw that in. So if you see that sign, don't get upset. You're going to say, I wonder what church they're talking about. You don't have to wonder. Okay. a state of perpetual fear. What I'm trying to say is, I'll guarantee you those people are in fear down there because why? They're doing it on man's way instead of God's way. If you do it God's way, you do not have to live in perpetual fear. God will supply all your needs. So what's the second choice? The second one is an easy one, but before you say, yeah, that's the one I want you to point out a couple things. The second choice is we can adopt Paul's attitude to be of good cheer and believe God in the storm. However, by doing that, here's what it cost. Everybody that was in the ship lost all the provisions and cargo. All the provisions and cargo were lost in that ship. God will take care of you, but it may cost you all your provisions and cargo or things, if you will, that you have. Are you willing to give it up? I mean, I'm not saying that you will, but would you be willing to? Would you be willing to say, Lord, if it takes everything I have, if I lose my nice house, if I lose my car, if I lose my bank account, will I still be of good cheer and believe that you're going to take care of me? You should. You say, well, that's easy. That's easy for you to say. No, it's not. When I go into the bank, they don't sit there and say, how you doing, Mr. Simpson? I see your account grew by $18,000 today. They usually sit there and say, I hope you come to make a deposit. So I said, yeah, I did. And they said, okay, that's good. So I'm not rich by any means, except I will tell you this. I've had pastors all through my life tell me, tell everybody you can about Jesus. Tell everybody you can about Jesus. And I have had the privilege of leading many to the Lord, and many of them are in heaven. And so I have a good bank account ahead up there. That will never be taken away. And there may be some that I didn't get to see. I just got the water, or I got the plant, but somebody else got the increase that I don't know about, and they're going to be up there and just saying, thank you, thank you. Things down here don't mean too much. Sell cars. Guess what? 10 years, the car that you paid $35,000 for is now worth about $1,500, depending on the condition and the miles. I had a guy call in and said, I've got a... It doesn't matter. I got a car to trade in. And I said, okay. He said, by the way, it doesn't run. He said, do you guys come and pick up cars and take it in? And then will you tell me what it's worth? And I said, no, we don't have that particular service, all right? My point is, 10 years from now, your car is not going to be worth what you paid for it, all right? So does it really matter if something comes in and you lose it all, if the economy goes and we have nothing left, does it really matter if everything's gone? No, because why? God is going to supply our need. He's going to supply your need. They lost it all. They lost the tackling of the ship. They finally lost the ship. But here's the good part. What did Paul tell them? He said, nobody's going to lose their life. If you'll read this carefully, you'll find not one lost their life. Not one. Why? Because if God says something, you can count on it and you can believe it. And you can take it to the bank because it's going to be true. It's going to be true. God told Paul, tell them they're going to lose this, but tell them nobody's going to lose their life. Paul stands up in the middle and said, let me just tell you this. I like this because he didn't sit there and bypass this. He goes, remember when I told you we shouldn't have even left? But nobody would listen to me. And now look at the mess we're in. But God came to me and told me this. Be of good cheer. Nobody's going to lose their life. Be of good cheer, for I believe God. And I believe they knew that Paul was used of God, and they said, you know what? I'm going to believe God too. I'm going to believe what God's told him. We have to be that kind of a Christian. We've got to tell people, and we've got to believe God. You say, do you worry about all the news? I'm like our pastor. I hardly watch it anymore. I get so upset. But I believe God's going to take care of me no matter what. I believe if I tell somebody, would you like to go to heaven? And they say, yeah, I would. Let me tell you how you can know to go, that God will still save them because God said he would. There are some things that we can tell, that I can let you know this morning, that you can tell everybody and you can believe in because it's true and it's not going to change. Salvation that I just mentioned. Heaven and hell are still real. Okay? Whether you want to believe it or not, if our economy falls completely to the ground and this becomes a third world country, is there still a heaven? Well, there is. Is there still a hell? Yes. And that's the sad part. Are people still going? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So you can tell people that. You can know this, that if that storm comes, the one that we're dreading, to think what could happen to our country, God is going to be with us in the storm. I think it was last week that somebody sang His Eye Is on the Sparrow. One of my favorite songs. And you know why? Because if God is watching the sparrows fall and he knows what one's going to fall, you think he's going to be with you in the storm no matter what happens? He will. He will. You can still understand this. According to God's word, God is still in control of everything going on. He hasn't got caught. He's not sitting there saying, oh man, I didn't see that one coming. Boy, no, he's still in control. Sometimes I think he just wants to know who you're going to go to when things get tough. Maybe you've drifted a little further away. Things have been going good. You've got money in the bank. You've got this. You've got that. Your health is good. And you don't go to God like you used to. You don't pray for others like you used to. You don't have time to spend with God. And God says, okay, then I'll take this, or I'll take this, or I'll take that. And maybe you'll come back a little bit to spend some time. Spend some time. God is in control. Understand this. It's still in the Bible, and I believe this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, whether you believe it or not, he still is. When the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went into the fire, they didn't know if they were going to make it. They said, King, if our God delivers us, he does, but if not, we're still not going to bow to you. They got thrown in, and who was walking around with them? Lord, I see the fourth, and the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. You know why he looked like the Son of God? Because it was the Son of God walking around with them. I believe they didn't want to come back out of the fire. They said, hey, this is the best place to be. I've got the Lord walking with me. I kind of like being with that. God's word is true. Understand that. You can tell people. You can stand in the midst and you can tell them, I believe God because God's word is true. God's word is true. And lastly, I'll make this really quick. Prayer still works. And I better get a big amen out of this. Okay. Because it does. I want to tell you this real quick. And I'm not bragging on myself. I just want you to know that prayer works. Our pastor, who I love a lot, came up Friday to see me and was talking to me. And he may tell the story part of it, so I'm not going to go into everything. But anyway, he was asking, and there was a car I was trying to sell. He goes, you think you're going to get it sold? I said, well, the people want to buy it, but the credit's not too good, and it doesn't look real promising. And our pastor said, well, I'll just pray that you get that deal. I said, well, I appreciate that. My wife was praying. I was praying, and on Friday, time to go home from work, I talked to our finance guy, and he said, you might as well go on home. He said, we can't get them done. There's just no way. I said, okay. I'm about halfway home. I'm on 246 coming to almost all the way to Lewis. And I get a call, and my boss said, where are you at? I said, well, I told him where I was. He said, did the finance guy tell you that those people couldn't get bought and to go on home? I go, yeah. He goes, well, I don't know what happened. He said, I don't understand it either. But he said they did. And he said, come on back. He said, because they're coming in, you got to deliver the car. I said, okay. And you say, wow, what a coincidence. Listen, the guy that did this my finance guy said he shouldn't even be in there. He said he never does anything. He said, I'd rather deal with almost anyone but this guy. What am I telling you? I had a pastor that was praying. I had a wife that was praying, and I was praying. And God answered the prayer. Amen. Now, if he'll do that over a stupid little car that's not a big deal, you know, like I told you, 10 years, that car will be worth nothing. If he'll do that, will he take care of us if our country does happen to fall? Yeah, he will. Will he take care of us no matter what? Yeah. You know why he took care of me? Because I'm his child. You know why he's going to take care of you if you're saved? Because you're his child. He's going to be with you, and he wants to take care of you. Don't fall into the devil's trap about, boy, what's going to happen? I've just got to worry and worry and worry, and I don't know how we're going to make it. Just look at this verse in chapter 27. And every time the devil comes, just say, devil, you can't get me down because I'm of good cheer, for I believe God. And that's going to take care of it. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time. I thank you, God, that you love us, that I'm your child. I thank you for your word, and that we can believe in you, and that you honor your word. Lord, I thank you for this church, and because they want to do everything the right way, Lord, that it's been blessed and will continue to be blessed. Thank you for the Sunday school hour, for everyone that is here. And Lord, if there's one that's even having a little doubt or wondering how they're going to make it, just reassure them that as your child, you're going to take care of them. Bless our pastor as he brings the message. In Jesus' name, amen.